It's Thursday, the 10th of October, and this is the Monocle Minute. Today,
you can't impeach a president for doing a great job. This is a scam.
What happens if the US president refuses to comply with the impeachment process? We'll examine Donald Trump's dangerous playbook. Plus, Italy's parliament culls itself, reducing its number of MPs, and we'll take an artistic look at the city of Oslo. I'm Ben Rylan in London. The Monocle Minute starts now. The United States is grappling with the question of what to do with a president who refuses to cooperate with an impeachment inquiry. House Democrats say that the president's refusal could constitute grounds for yet another article of impeachment. But the White House says the inquiry is an unconstitutional attempt to overturn the 2016 election. But can the president really simply refuse to comply with the political process?
Well, first of all, the impeachment inquiry is a scam. The conversation that I had with the Ukrainian president, Zelensky, was a very good very cordial conversation.
As the impeachment process rolls on, it's clear that this battle will spin in some way on which side is able to win the war of effective messaging. And the president, never one to miss a chance to tarnish his opponents, has been quick to return to a familiar trope.
It's the single greatest witch hunt in American history, probably in history, but in American history.
Ed Stocker is Monocle's America's editor at large. He says that Trump's ability to portray himself as a hero of the forgotten Americans has been a key part of his political identity.
Donald Trump has used words like witch hunt all the time to sort of solidify this impression that he's trying to do the right thing and he's being thwarted by both Congress and the Democrats. And so there is an argument that this sort of victimization of himself will play certainly to his base.
The Democratic House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, was quick to respond to the White House's refusal, saying in a statement that, quote, "The White House should be warned that continued efforts to hide the truth of the president's abuse of power from the American people will be regarded as further evidence of obstruction. Mr. President, you are not above the law. You will be held accountable."
We are deeply concerned about Secretary Pompeo's effort now to potentially interfere with witnesses whose testimony is needed before our committee, many of whom are mentioned in the whistleblower complaint.
The chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Adam Schiff, delivered a stern warning last week against any interference in the impeachment process.
And we want to make it abundantly clear that any effort by the secretary, by the president, or anyone else to interfere with the Congress's ability to call before it relevant witnesses will be considered as evidence of obstruction of the lawful functions of Congress.
So far, however, such warnings from the Democratic Party seem to have only made the president more intent on tearing down the political process. That might work with Trump's base, but as Ed Stocker says, he'll need to expand his appeal if he's to win re-election.
I guess the big question is whether those people who are undecided or simply tired of Trump will find it all a bit too much. There's some people calling for sort of Mitt Romney to sort of return to that critical voice that he had before. They need a leader amongst the Republicans if that's going to happen. But at the moment, mostly people sticking to defending him, and that's core to his survival, really, I think.
If Trump sticks with his current strategy of furious refusal to cooperate, he'll need to depend on the loyalty of those working around him, all of whom will be under increasing pressure to comply with the impeachment process, or potentially face dire consequences in the future. But the president will also need the confidence of the electorate, and so far, claims that the impeachment will somehow galvanize his support aren't proving correct. A Washington Post poll released this week found that 58% of respondents now support impeachment, an increase of 20 points in just 3 months.
"I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow." Vice President Ford.
Back in the 1970s, it took months of hard work before public support reached a majority for the impeachment of Richard Nixon. The impeachment of Trump is just 2 weeks old. The White House will no doubt be hoping the president can, in fact, turn those poll numbers around.
And this president of the United States is stooping to a level that is beneath the dignity of the Constitution of the United States and our founders. They put guardrails in the Constitution because they knew there might be someone who would overplay his or her power. They never thought that we would have a president who would kick those guardrails over and disregard the Constitution and say, Article 2 says that I can do whatever I feel like.
Are there too many politicians? At a time when disillusionment in our political systems seems to be growing, the argument that there are just too many elected officials might be an easy one to make. Well, now Italy has gone a step further, with Parliament voting to cull itself. Monocle's Chiara Ramella is here to explain. Chiara, this has been driven by the Five Star Movement. What prompted the vote?
This has been at the top of Movement Five Star's agenda since almost its very inception, almost a decade ago. The idea was at the beginning of the movement that this was a movement against the privilege of the upper kind of echelons of the political society. And so before even the Movement Five Stars became a party proper and entered the political fray itself, it's always been at the top of its agenda. It was also an important point that the Movement Five Stars was not willing to let go of when entering a new government with the PD. And it is very relevant that one of the first things that this government has managed to kind of do, and the first few things that the PD has agreed to do to go along with the Movement Five Stars, is precisely this measure, which is quite clearly a populist measure, but also a very popular measure, because it is said to be approved by about 88% of the Italian electorate. And it was voted en masse in Parliament as well by over 500 of the members of Parliament. So that's huge.
It certainly looks as though it has popular support. I mean, 88%, that's an enormous number of people to support anything in politics, certainly in Italian politics, it seems. My mind goes back to the peril that the former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi faced. He staked his entire career on a vote not so long ago that he said would streamline the government. This was a referendum. A key part of that was to cut the number of senators. Now, of course, there are no doubt very, very clear differences and many differences between what's happened now and what was proposed back then. But as we know, Renzi resigned after losing that referendum. Back then, the Five Stars were very much against the change and all for maintaining the status quo. What exactly do you think has changed? What's led to that shift, certainly in the electorate at least, that's gone from what we saw before to now seeing 88% support and certainly the majority of parliamentarians in support of this as well? Is it really just a difference in messaging?
It's not just messaging. There are huge differences between the proposals of Renzi's referendum and this. And what people took issue with the most from Renzi's proposed reform was the idea that the measures would, solidify the power in the hands of the Prime Minister and turn Italy into a bit more of a kind of presidential republic than it was before. And the fear was that democracy would really be quite impacted and it would have had to change. You know, it was a proper constitutional reform. This is also a modification of the constitution, by the way, so it is also quite deep. But this doesn't touch quite as many institutions as Renzi's proposed referendum did. And also, we have to bear in mind that that referendum became very much personalised. It became a vote on Renzi himself, and that really led to his demise then. The Movement Five Stars have always been pro diminishing the number of MPs. It was just all that came with the reform that wasn't really quite to their taste.
Chiara Ramella, thank you. And finally today, Monocle's editorial team takes an artistic eye to the icy waters of Norway.
When visiting Oslo, one might expect to be met with chilly weather and exorbitant alcohol bills. And one might be right. But there's plenty to be said about the city's art scene, too. The Oslo Art Biennale hosts its second edition later this month, while the privately owned Kistefos Sculpture Park has just opened a spectacular gallery built by Bjarke Ingels. Next year, a vast national museum is opening. It will be the biggest art gallery in the Nordics, as is the new and improved Munch Museum, a towering waterfront tribute to the nation's most famous painter. Ask a Norwegian what to see in the capital, and there's a good chance they'll point you to one of these new galleries. We often think of super wealthy nations as trying to build culture and engaging in a sort of global arts race, what with the Abu Dhabi Louvre or the National Museum of Qatar. Is Norway a Scandi equivalent? Unlike some of its Gulf counterparts, the country does have a rich history of artists, from Edvard Munch to sculptor Gustav Vigeland, and its raft of new institutions are helping to give the city a fresh edge.
That's all in today's program. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, monocle.com. I'm Ben Rylan. The Monocle Minute returns on Friday.